How many of you have fruit trees? How many of your fruit trees this year are just laden with fruit? I'm telling you, our apricot trees and our pear trees are just completely different than last year. We hardly had anything last year, but this year, it just seems like our fruit trees are so bountiful in their fruit. And this year, every time we drive into our house, we have several trees along one side that are all fruit trees. And it reminds me that I want to look like that as a person. Amen? I want to look, not just look, I want to be fruitful. I want to be that type of tree that just has so much fruit coming off of it that my branches are just, you know, feel like they need to get propped up. And we've been talking about developing a fruitful life. And I think one of the things that's important for us to really get is that God wants us to all be fruitful. So turn to your neighbor and say, he wants you to be more fruitful than you are. Really. And the cool thing about God is that he cares for the entire man, right? In other words, he's not just concerned about being spiritually fruitful. He's concerned about being fruitful in natural things. Do you believe that? Amen? If you're a businessman, how many businessmen? Raise your hand if you're a businessman. Okay? God wants your business to be fruitful. In other words, sometimes we can have the idea that God just cares about the important things. You know, internal, emotional, spiritual. But you know what? God cares about every part of our lives, because how many of you know it all goes together? It's hard to be emotionally healthy, psychologically healthy, when you can't pay your bills. I mean, week in and week out, hey, listen, everybody's gone through maybe lean times financially or whatever. We've all done that. But how many of you know, big picture, God wants us to be fruitful in our finances, okay? God wants us to be fruitful in our health. How many of you know it's hard to be productive and healthy when you're physically just trying to stay alive? Isn't that right? I mean, it's hard to thrive. We've all experienced difficulties in our bodies at some point or other, but big picture, God wants us to be fruitful even in our health. Amen? How many of you know God wants us to have healthy minds? We've probably all battled from one time or another, you know, where we maybe have gone through a few days of not feeling great. Maybe we've even experienced a bit of depression or a bit of anxiety or whatever it is. But you know what? Big picture, God wants us to be healthy psychologically, emotionally, in the soulish part of our life. Do you believe that? I know that there was a person that was in our family, actually. I got to be sensitive so that other family members don't hear this, but in our extended family, there was a person that had battled depression for years, just for years. But there's a stigma associated with that, right? It's like you don't want to go on medication because you don't want to do that. So over the years, you know, and kind of talking/counseling with me, they just said, what do I do? I said, well, I know you're resistant to the idea of going get some tests done, but I encourage you to do that because God wants you to be healthy emotionally, right? Oh, I don't want to do that. Why don't you want to do that? Well, they're just going to give me some medication and put me on pills. It's like, okay. I said, what if you broke your arm and parts of your bones were sticking out? Would you stay away from the doctor just because they're going to have to do surgery? Well, no, I'd go get it fixed. I says, well, what if there's something that's wrong with the chemical balance of your brain? Are you with me?
Yes.
Come on, this is an area that, you know, a lot of people don't like to talk about, especially in church, because, you know, you just need to buck up and get happy. Right? So, well, I don't want anybody to find out. I said, all right, it'll be a secret between me and you. Nobody will know. So I encourage you, go get some tests done. And I told them what kind of tests they needed to have done. So they went and got some tests. Sure enough, called. Well, they found something, but I don't know if I agree. It's like, okay. Well, I said, here's the deal. If you continue to do what you've always done, you're going to keep getting what you're always getting. So it's week in and week out of struggle. Week in and week out of struggle. Do good for a little while and then crash and burn for days. Do good for a little while, crash and burn for days. That's not fruitful in our emotional realm. So they went on and got prescribed some
pills.
Started taking the pills seriously within a week. I got a phone call and said, you know what? I can't believe how different I am. I said, positive or negative? They said, I realize now I've battled this since high school. And I said, okay. But then the next point was, but I'm not going to take pills for the rest of my life. It's like, I'm there. Right? I mean, you know, pills certainly aren't bad. But I think there's this maybe some things that long-term stuff in our bodies, we don't know what it's going to do. So I said, well, let's start believing God. So we started believing God together. Just this person and myself started believing God. And wouldn't you know it, within 2 years, they're off all medication and their life is absolutely transformed, has gone and been checked, and the balances, the chemicals that were out of balance are all in balance now. And they're fruitful. God wants us to be, see the thing, for years, it was tough to believe God. When you feel like junk, I would have probably used another word in another setting. When you feel like junk, it's hard to trust God. It's not because you don't want to. It's not because you don't have the faith. It's because you just are battling so many other things. It's hard to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Amen. And sometimes we can thank God for the wisdom that medical science has, right? Thank God for that. I believe it's God-given. Amen. But we don't then have to depend, but we can be fruitful. The whole idea is that fruitfulness is the will of God for every believer. Amen. Say, God wants me fruitful in my health. God wants me fruitful in my emotions. God wants me fruitful spiritually. I believe it to the core of my being. I don't believe there's an area of your life that you can think about, that you could mention, that would say, now God wants you to be fruitful in all of those areas, but that area right there. Do we think God wants us to be fruitful in our families? I believe our families, you know, there's sometimes that families just go from one crisis to the next crisis, to the next crisis, to the next crisis, to the next crisis, to the next crisis. Amen? I believe God wants us to be fruitful in all areas of life. Here in John 15, let's read. Verse 1. I'm the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Everybody say more fruit. In other words, wherever you are, wherever I am right now in my life, God, I know God wants me to be more fruitful. However fruitful I am now, he wants me to be more fruitful. Think about that. Is there a limit? Let me just ask this. Is there a limit to how fruitful we can be? In other words, will we get to a spot in God that God just looks at us and goes, oh, all right, now you've just crossed the barrier. You're too fruitful. No. As a vine dresser, as a master gardener, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, here's what I love about this. Again, whenever you read that scripture, it's interesting how many people will concentrate on the negative. He who doesn't bear fruit, he's going to cut it and throw it away. And that's where people's brain stops. They stop right there. I don't see that. What I see is wherever you are, he's going to prune you to be more fruitful. So I just look at that and I think, isn't that cool that God wants me to be more fruitful already? In other words, he can look at my life and go, you know what, Lynn, however fruitful you are as a husband, you can be more fruitful. Okay, that went over well. Did my wife say amen out there, by the way? Are you awake out there? Okay. I believe the limits that we have are self-imposed limits. Amen? And we self-impose those limits, I think, subconsciously in a lot of ways. Maybe you grew up in a certain whatever, and so that environment formulated some stuff in our brain to think that we could never do that or we could never do that. I just want to encourage it. Let's think what God thinks. I think when God looks at us, he sees the real potential. And what I mean by that is that when God looks at us, how many of you know he sees the potential of what he's placed in us, and how many of you know he's limitless? Amen. Oh, I could hear somebody think right there, well, are you saying that we could just do? You know what? I'll say this. If God can believe it, why should we not believe it? Amen. If God could see it, why should we not see it? Amen. Amen. Oh, listen, I know it's not easy, and my point, this is going to be ending this series today. Here's the thing. It takes work to be fruitful. Isn't that right? Well, look out here. Our grass, we've had the water shut off for a few days, so it's not as green maybe as it could, but it's a reasonably green lawn, right? How many of you water your lawn? Is that a mundane task or what? Right? Yeah, I think it's mundane. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science to turn the water on. But guess what? You got to turn it on regularly. And listen, real close. You don't go out one day and water with innovation. Okay, maybe a sprinkler. Maybe there's innovation in a sprinkler. Maybe a sprinkler turns this way. Maybe a sprinkler poofs up that way. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's turning water on, and something as simple as water hits the ground and provides life to a plant. I think sometimes we think that it takes something really innovative, really specialized to become fruitful. But I'll just say this, you got to start with some basics. This grass, okay, we can fertilize with, you know, whatever. We can come up with some sort of a combination of fertilizer. We could use fish oil. We could use nitrogen derived from a whole bunch of different stuff. So we could get into some complexities of this, that, or the other. But how many of you know what? This grass will not grow without something simple called water. Do you know there's things in the Christian life that if we think, well, I just need more, I need a different mix of fertilizer. I need fertilizer that's derived from a different source, because in that different source, it releases, the ions come together and there's a catalyst that takes place and it releases it at whatever. You know what? There's sometimes that the reason some of us aren't fruitful in our walk in life is just simply because we forget. You got to get water going first. What's the water for the Christian? Okay, the Word's one of them. Prayer, the three F's, fellowship. Pastor Josh, I heard, by the way, there's a new three F's, family, friends, and football. Okay, listen, we need the Word. Let me just ask, it's a simple question, and you know, I know you could look at me and go, well, duh, but do you get into the Word every day? And if not, I encourage you to change that. Do you pray every day? Now, I know you could look at me and go, well, duh. But you know what? The first thing, if we had a section of our lawn that was brown, and we called in a landscape expert, a vine dresser, do you know the first thing he's going to ask us? He's not going to ask us, now, let's see, that brown out there, I think we need to look at your fertilizer program. What's the first thing he's going to ask? How's your water? How's your water situation? We can never get away from water. It's kind of like food. How many of you know what? We can talk about different Mediterranean diets. What other diets are there? Whatever diets. We can talk about Mediterranean diet. We can talk about vegan diet. We can talk about Atkins diet. But what's the overriding thing that has to happen? You got to eat every day. Okay? You can talk about French cuisine. You can talk about Italian cuisine. You can talk about Mexican cuisine. You can talk about whatever cuisine. You can talk about, you can get into the details of how do you create a souffle? Sometimes we just need to look and go, wait a minute. Are you eating a balanced diet? It's not rocket science. Watering grass, watering a crop is not rocket science. Reading the Word, praying, and fellowship is not rocket science. But that's one of the areas, or some of the areas, I would put those three together for the water. Why is fellowship part of that? I think it would be obvious why the Word is part of it, right? I mean, because that's where the source of life comes from, right? The Word. But how many of you know you need to contextualize the word in a real environment? When you're by yourself and you're isolated, you can make the Bible say some pretty wacky stuff. Isn't that right? You can convince yourself that some things that the Bible talks about, you take it out of the context of life, out of the context of practicality, and you can make the Word of God. You can get weird really quick. Turn to your neighbor and look at him. Say, you're not one of those, are you? Prayer. Prayer is one of those things. You mean I got to talk to God every day? Any of you ever did those ditto prayers? Come on. How many of you today in front of God has prayed a ditto prayer? All right. Jer's a man. Kathy Gilbert's a man. I mean a woman. Sorry. Durrett. Forrest. Okay. And the rest of you, I think you're maybe not as honest as you would like. Do you know what a ditto prayer is? No? All right, maybe I'll explain it and then you can raise your hand. You've had a long day. You've spent 8, 10, 12 hours a day. You're tuckered. Are you with now? Some of you are going, oh, that's what it is. You're tuckered. You're tired. You've spent a long day working. You get bed at night and you know, gosh, I need to pray all the time. So you kind of, with all the seriousness that you can muster, it's like, God, I'm really tired. And you know what I prayed for last night? Just ditto that. All right, now, raise your hand. How many of you have prayed a ditto? Okay. Fellowship. Fellowship's a part of the discussion because we have got to contextualize not only the word, because it's not, the Bible's not magic. Are you with me? The Bible isn't just magic stuff on a page that if you just kind of touch it and hum while you read it or whatever, that it just lives on its own. Are you with me? It takes the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us as a Christian. How many of you know he's the teacher of the word? In other words, he's the one that breaks it down. Because listen, your frame of context, your frame of reference when you read scripture, we could demonstrate this if we had a little bit of time, but if we had this table right here take a scripture and they were all whatever, and they were to take that scripture and come up with some sort of an exegesis on it of what it means, and we took another table that was a completely different culture, different background, different whatever, they would come up with the same scripture and have them exegete it. I guarantee you it would be a completely different understanding. Why? Because the context in life of how we understand it. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. For instance, when I see a look on some of your faces like, I don't know quite what you're talking about. If I was to ask this side, say, define fruitfulness to me, or define prosperity to me, they would define it one way. Come to another group that didn't hear that, ask them to define the same thing, they would come up with a different understanding. Why is that important? Because you could read a scripture that talks about God wants us to prosper and be in health in all things, and that group may have a level right here that means they're prospering when they get right here. Another group might go, you call that prosperity? That ain't prospering at all. And so context, fellowship is so important. It says in the book of Hebrews, whenever we usually on a Sunday, we read from the book of Hebrews when we celebrate communion. Forsake not the assembling together as yourself, as is the manner of some, but even so much more as you see the day approaching. Fellowship, prayer, and the word are the essential part of the work of being fruitful. Amen? And then here's the cool thing. The vine dresser, this is what I love about this story, or about this context, is that the vine dresser is the one that identifies, he's the one that identifies what needs to be changed. Isn't that cool? So why is that important? Because maybe we have defined for not only ourselves, but for other people what we think they need to change. That really, that may not be what really needs to be changed. God wants to work on something else. Amen? We call that judgment. Amen? How many of you know we're to judge ourselves? We're not to put that on anybody else. But let's go on here. Abide in me, I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. How many of you know it's a God deal? Unless it abides in the vine. Why is that? Because our life comes from God, okay? I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Everybody say much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone doesn't abide in me, he's cast out as a branch, is withered, and they gather them, throw them into the fire, they're burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you will, or ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. Here's the crunch verse. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much. Everybody say much. Again, that you bear much fruit, as you will be my disciples. I love that. Okay, let's close with a psalm. Psalms 92, if you have your Bibles. Okay, while you're getting there, just a couple. I just want to make sure I don't go too long because I know it's hot out there. How do you determine what's fruitful or not? Any of you ever taken a survival class? Raise your hand if you've taken a survival class. There's a lot of edible stuff in the wild, right? You know what? I'm not going to go through all of that. I'm not going to do a Bear Grylls deal, but I'll just say this. It's good to ask ourselves a question while we're going through life and to get nitty and gritty with ourselves. We don't get nitty and gritty with somebody else, right? I don't go to somebody and say, hey, you're not fruitful, you need to change this. I don't have the right to do that. But I do have the responsibility to do that with me. Amen? I need to look at Lynn and go, you know what, Lynn? How fruitful are you? And I just wrote down some things here that's kind of good to look at. We determine what is really fruitful or not with respect to fruit. Is it good tasting? Okay, now you may not like a certain area of fruit, but you can tell what's good tasting. Does that make sense? In other words, if you were to bite into something and it felt like it removed all the moisture in your mouth and just puckered your lips up. How many of you know that's a first good deal to say, don't eat that? Isn't that right? Is it good tasting? Does it warm them up? Is it pleasant? Does it make you want more? Sweet versus bitter. Refreshing. Restorative. Nutritious. Does it make you healthy? In other words, if we were to put this sort of criteria on areas of our life, if I was to look at it in terms of friendships, families, whatever, if I was to look at it and go, you know what? If as a friend, if you always find yourself in terms of friendships, find yourself alone, always. Okay, you got a friend for a while, oh, then you're alone. Oh, friend for a while, then you're alone. How many of you know it's probably safe to say we're not fruitful in our relationships? So maybe there's something we need to do. What do? Here's the cool deal. We get to have a dialogue with the vine dresser. It's not a mystery. He's not looking. In other words, God isn't looking at us as the master farmer and saying, well, you can be more fruitful, but I ain't telling you. God doesn't come to us and say, listen, I want you to be more fruitful in those relationships, to which we respond, well, God, how can I be more fruitful? He goes, I ain't telling you. You're going to find it on your own. I mean, you know, that wouldn't be a fair God. Here's the cool thing. If I look at, say, relationships, and man, I tell you, I can't keep a friend for more than 6 months. You know what? Maybe after a while, all right, maybe you may run across a wacky person, and that was just wacky. But if that's your life, something's got to change. Isn't that right? Parents, if we're having a tough time with our children all the time, there's just always a war going on. Okay, maybe you got wacky kids. That's actually probably the real reason. I'm just kidding you. Okay, kids can have issues, but how many of you know moms and dads can have issues? If your marriage goes from fight to fight to fight to fight to fight to fight, the cool thing is that we have a vine dresser, a master gardener, that when we submit to and go to and say, God, I need help in this area. I want to be fruitful. How many of you know he will more than open up himself to us and say, okay, begin to work on this area. Does that make sense? Okay, let's read here in Psalms 92. We'll close. It's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, on the harp. By the way, didn't the music sound awesome today? I'm telling you what, it sounded great today. Great mix, everything. On the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man doesn't know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, is it that they may be destroyed forever? It is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn, which is a picture of his whole life, you have exalted like a wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Everybody say that. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. And then it says, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. In other words, it's a picture of fruitfulness. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That's why it's important here at Amazing Grace. Membership is an issue. Membership is an issue for us, not because of a clique, not because of just membership in terms of a formal deal, but because God wants people in the house of God to not be potted plants. Potted plants are forever limited in their fruitfulness. They can't grow past what the pot can give them. And in time, guess what? They've reached their ability in terms of potential to be fruitful. That's why those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. It's important to get your roots down deep in a local body. Amen? Okay. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still, I like this, they shall still bear fruit in old age. There's a couple words there that are important. It says they still. Everybody say still. What does that mean? They still will bear fruit in old age. If it says still, that means when they were young, they were fruitful. When they were middle aged, they were fruitful. And when they get older, they're still fruitful. God wants us to be fruitful all the way till we go home to be with the Lord. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He's my rock and there's no unrighteousness in him. I like that. So turn to your neighbor and say, you're never too old to be fruitful. Amen? Thank God. All right. Let's bow our head and close our eyes this morning.